Han visste det ikke ennå, men noen av de beste barndomsminnene han skulle ta med seg videre i livet, var dagene hjemme syk fra skolen med bestefar som barnevakt. Ikke det at det var så innmari gøy å være syk, men han fikk bestille McNuggets til lunsj og se på TV i sofaen mens bestefar leste papiravisa ved siden av. Og det er nettopp sånne dager som betyr mer enn det virker som der og da. For sånn er livet, og McDonald's er bare en liten del av det, tross alt.
Nå skulle også Focation vært på en siste Europarunde med originalvokalist Frank Mullen, men på grunn av korona får vi trøst oss med et gammelt intervju i stand. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv, du hører på Jernverket podcast. Men før vi kjører intervju har jeg en beskjed til. For at Jernverket skal overleve som podcast trengs det midler, så jeg har vært frekk nok til å opprette en Patreon-si og en VIPs-konto. Hvis du vil bidra med noen slanter for å holde Jernverket flytende, hadde jeg satt en stor pris på det. Du kan gi månedlig via jernverkesiden på patreon.com/jernverket eller gi en enkeltsum via VIPs nummer 567438. Beløpet er selvsagt valgfritt. All informasjon står nederst i episodebeskrivelsen med en lenke som fører rett til kassen. Igjen, tusen takk for alle bidragene så langt. Jeg klarer ikke det uten deg.
Ser på Jernverket på Radio Rox FM 90,1. Og på fredag i forrige vecka spilte det amerikanske death metal bandet Suffocation konsert på Inferno-festivalen. I den forbindelse fikk jeg tatt en prat med vokalist Frank Mullen, og vi startet intervjuet med å snakke litt om hvordan bandet oppstod og om historikken til Suffocation. Det hele startet i 1988 eller 89 cirka, og vi kan jo egentlig bare høre på hva Frank hadde å fortelle om det.
You know, pretty much just like started the band, not knowing what was going to happen. You know, we're a bunch of kids that get together and you're playing and everything, and then it was like, okay, you know, we have enough material here. And it was also pieced up from different bands. Like me and Josh Barron, the original bass player, we had kind of like branched out on our own, and we had, like, I came up with the name Suffocation over the Morbid Angel song on Altars of Madness. So, like, I was like, oh, yeah, that's it. That's the name of the band. So we had some different musicians, and on this side, it was Terry Tobbs, Mike Smith, Doug Cerrito, this kid Billy Reyes, and Chris Basile, and they were in a band called Mortuary. Mortuary kind of like, you know, just stopped playing, and then we were still trying to push forward, and then once that happened, then, like, you know, the members came over. So a lot of the songs from the very beginning of Suffocation were Mortuary songs. That's pretty much where it all started. We put out our first demo, again, in like 1989, Re-Cremation demo. Then we put out the Human Waste EP because we got picked up. Matt from Relapse, he was just starting out. Like, we were his first band.
Oh, you were?
On the late, yeah. Yeah, like, he didn't have anything. And I remember, like the deal was so, like, you know, shitty and, like, crazy, you know. It was like, all right, you'll get, like, 500 albums, like, free. Like, and we were like, oh, sick, you know, because, like, man, you know, you don't know. We were like, so he put out Human Waste, and then from there, then it started, then that's when it kind of, like, things started happening. Like, we started shopping around at different labels, and we started getting interest from, like, Metal Blade, Central Media, and then Roadrunner hit us up. And at the time, we figured, you know, Roadrunner was definitely the biggest label, kind of like for, you know, really heavy music. They had Obituary, Exorder, DSI, you know, they had a lot of good bands on the label. So we went over to Roadrunner and put out our three albums, Effigy of the Forgotten, 91. Breeding Spawn was like 93, I think. And Piercing Within was like 95, 96, somewhere around there. And then the band kind of like went through a like kind of like a splitting up, you know. I was married and stuff, so, you know, there was like tensions on this side. It was like, when are you gonna like, you know, stop doing the band stuff and da da da. There was that going on. Plus, it was the scene at that point in like right around 2098. The death metal and you know, hardcore, it started really dropping out. Mm-hmm. You know, people weren't attending shows anymore, like for whatever reason. It just, oh, I'm forgetting, we threw in Despise the Sun at that point. Because once we were on Roadrunner had dropped us then after Pearson Within. And at that point, a friend of mine, our manager from the very beginning, Jason Fligman, he wanted to set up like his own label. So we were like, all right, you know, we'll help you out. And he was going to like help us out because we didn't really have a label at that point. So we were like, let's just put out a small EP and just see, you know, what kind of buzz it generates. And then maybe we'll get interest, you know, from our labels or anything. So we put out the Despise the Sun EP, and that was in 98. So then pretty much right after that, 98, you know, so like the late 90s, 2000, that's when the band pretty much separated, broke up, took a little hiatus or whatever. And then a few years later, I went through a divorce and everything. And then, so I was kind of like, well, like that was crazy. Like I stopped doing something I enjoyed. And then now this, so I'm like, you know, well, that just made no sense. I was like, really? I called up the guys. And, you know, just started trying to get a feel. And pretty much, yeah, Mike Smith, Terrence Hobbs, they were definitely on board. I reached out to the other guys, and, you know, for whatever reason, it just didn't work out. They didn't get back to me. Guy Marche had been jamming with Mike at the time, and I'd played with him before. He was at the very beginning of Suffocation. So he was like, yeah, you know, I'd definitely be interested. And, so, you know, we pretty much got back together. Josh Barron came into the band as well, the original bass player. Didn't last too long. He's a little crazy and stuff. But, you know, that's when Derek came into the band shortly after that. And then, you know, we've been putting out albums ever since, like, 2003. So it's been about 10 years of albums now.
Det sa Frank Mullen, vokalist I Suffocation. Og siden vi nå held på med et langt Suffocation-intervju her I Jernverket, passer det å åpne det med å spille en av låtene fra debutplata deres, Involuntary Slaughter, hentet fra Effigy of the Forgotten. Suffocation og Involuntary Slaughter her på Jernverket på Radio Rocks FM 90,1. Og vi held på å spille av et intervju med nettopp Suffocation, som jeg gjorde under Inferno-festivalen I helga. Jeg snakket med vokalist Frank Mullen, og han fortalte meg at turneringer har blitt mye lettere etter internett og mobiltelefon kom. Ikke bare fordi det gjør det lettere å holde kontakt med familien, men også fordi at Suffocation har hatt en lei tendens til å glemme igjen Frank på rasteplasser og flyplasser. Hør på det her.
I don't know what it is, you know, like, but yeah, I've been left a few times, and it always seems to be like right around like a bathroom break type situation where the bus has been parked like all night, and then I'll get up earlier than most of the other guys, so like I'm like, all right, well, we've been here for all night, you know, so let me just get off the bus real quick, use the bathroom, come back, everyone's still sleeping. You don't think anything of it. A lot of times you can't find the driver. Like, the driver's not there. So, like, I'm assuming he's inside or whatever and this, that, and hanging. So I got off the bus one time. The first time it happened, it was in Spain. I got off the bus, and that was in the early 90s. Mm. So I didn't know what to do. Like, I got off the bus, went inside, came back out, and I'm like, the bus was parked right here. And then I couldn't find it, so then I was like, well, either A, they're going to find out sooner or later, or B, I'm just going to be living here at this rest stop, because, like, I had nothing on me, I had no, like, you know, no money, no nothing, you know, so, like, no way to call or anything, or, and then nowadays, you know, most everybody, you know, you have cell phones on you, things like that, so you can get in touch with somebody, so, I guess about an hour down the road, they realized that I wasn't on. And then they realized, okay, well, the only place we stopped was that rest stop. So they came around, and sure enough, there I am sitting on the corner, you know, on a curb, and then they pull in. And so, and another time, the other time that was probably even crazier was I got left at an airport. I was involved around the bathroom situation. Like, we landed, and we had a quick changeover. Going down to, I think it was Ecuador. No, down to Peru. So what happened was we got in, went, grabbed something quick to eat. They were still eating, the rest of the guys, and I'm like, I'm going to go, and I'll meet you right at the gate. I go down there, and this is what's messed up sometimes, too, about your bandmates, because, like, they should have made a stink, as far as I'm concerned, but as they knew I'm in the airport, nobody gets up, nobody says, hey, wait a minute, you can't close the door. Like, he's in there, you know, like he didn't leave. Cool. So I go, I don't hear anything in the bathroom. There's no, like, you know, Frank Mullen to the gate, you know, last call, whatever. So I wasn't even in there that long. Get up, go to the gate. I see there's, like, nobody at the gate except for the two ladies. And I see the plane. The plane's still right there. And I said, I was like, did they already board? And she's like, you know, where were you? Like, you know, we were calling for you and da da da. And I'm like, I was in the bathroom. I said, I didn't hear anything. And so she's like, well, no, it's too late. You know, the door's closed or whatever. We can't open the door. I was like, you don't understand. Like, I have to get to this show. Like, I see the plane. Sure enough, plane left or whatever. And then I had to figure out a way to get it, the next flight, which then flew me to Panama and then back down.
So you got the concert. You made it.
Yeah, I made it. But, you know. So I'm resourceful. I'll get there. I'll figure it out. I'll get there. But so I try to keep things to the minimum now. So I try not to, like, miss flights or miss things.
But have you ever missed shows because of things like this?
No, never missed a show. Always, like, managed to get there. The other time was in France, and I'd gotten off in Belgium again, and they drove all the way from Belgium to France without realizing I wasn't in the bus. They get to France, they realize I'm not on. They had to have some guy drive from France all the way back to the spot where I was at, and then drive all the way back. Like, I got there probably about an hour before we were supposed to go on.
Wow.
So,
pretty expressive.
But yeah. So I try not to do that anymore.
Frank Møllen fra Suffocation som snakker der. Og det også Frank som har fått plukket ut mesteparten av musikken I Jernverket I dag. Det første vi skal høre fra han Napalm Death med The Code is Red. Long live the code. Litt annet enn det vi vant med her på Jernverket på Radio Rocks der. Burnt by the Sun heter bandet med Dracula with Glasses. En melodi som plukket ut av Suffocation-vokalist Frank Møllen. Og det han vi har snakket med I Jernverket her I dag. Suffocation jo hyllet som et av de virkelig innflytelsesrike bandene I death metal-sjangeren. De har blitt trukket frem som innovatører og pionerer. Men hva det egentlig som gjør dem fortjent til det her? Vokalist Frank Møllen, han sier at de begjæret over å få den skryten, og forteller her hvorfor han tror de blir sett på som litt annerledes.
When we grew up, it was Long Island, New York, so I listened to everything. It wasn't just, you weren't just, like, into one category of music. It wasn't, like, just black metal. It wasn't just thrash. It wasn't just, we listened to it all. So our music incorporates a little piece of all of that. You know, whether it's a little bit of, you know, thrash that was in there, death metal, hardcore, you know, for the breakdown. So, like, we incorporated everything that we kind of, like, grew up on and what we listened to. So I think at the time when the band, you know, first came out, it was, like, completely different than what a lot of the other bands were doing at the time. So, like, so that's the only thing that I can think of that, like, you know, like where people have said, you know, oh, you know, like, you know, you guys were, you know, innovators of doing that, and it's just because just where we grew up and just how we wanted to put the music out there, like we didn't want it to just be, you know, either just really really fast or really slow and heavy, you know, we wanted elements of all of that, so.
I kveld det vokalist I Suffocation, Frank Møllen, som har mye av ansvaret for musikken I Jernverket. Clutch og Escape from the Prison Planets var plukket ut av han. Og vi godt I gang med et Suffocation-intervju her. I sted så rundet vi av spørsmålet der de ble hyllet som et innflytelsesrikt band I death metal-sjangeren. Og vi gikk videre med å snakke om førsteplata, The Effigy of the Forgotten, som sett på som en milepæl. Jeg spurte Frank hvorfor han trodde det, og han begynte da etter hvert å snakke om den dårlige produksjonen av andre skiva, Breeding the Spawn. La oss høre hva han hadde å si om det.
At the time, you know, the music for that was, you know, definitely, like, over the top compared to a lot of the things. And, you know, because I have friends of mine, and even, like, Derek, our bass player, like, he's younger than us. So he tells us this story all the time where, like, you know, he had bought Effigy of the Forgotten and listened to it. And he's like, yo, this is crazy. I don't even know what's going on with him. So he gave that to a friend of his who had gotten, I think he said, like, Morbid Angel, Blessed Are the Saints, it was something like that. So he had gotten that, and then he said within, like, 2 or 3 days, he was like, yo, I need that Suffocation back because, like, I don't know, like, I you know, so, so he got it back, and then, you know, he was like, I just had to absorb it, and then it was, like, sick. Production-wise, I mean, it's hard because, like, those were the days of, you know, tape and reel and things like that. I mean, we went down to Morrisound with Scott Burns, and, you know, he had done so many other bands at that point. And I think for the time, I think it came out as a great production. Breeding the Spawn is the one that came out really horrible because Breeding the Spawn, we were going to go to Scott Burns, but the record label wouldn't allow it. We were like, you know, are you kidding? Like, Scott Burns was easy to work with. He's a great guy. He knows what he's doing. And then now you want us to find somebody? So we got kind of stuck where we were trying to find, you know, different recording engineers. Nothing was working out, so then now we had more of a budget, so we went back to the place where we did Human Waste. And Human Waste is not the greatest production either. And so we went back there thinking, okay, you know, with more of a budget, you know, more time and things like that, we could probably get this done. And it was a nightmare. It was like some songs, the drums sounded one way, then they sounded another way, and it was like, like you could just hear it. It was like it's all over the place on that album, and that's kind of why we've been adding like breeding songs to each of our albums, so you get an idea of what it would sound like with a real production. So, like on this, the Pinnacle of Bedlam album, we put Beginning of Sorrow. We had put that song on there and gave it a real production and everything. So now you can, you know, like, and that's kind of what we've been doing throughout all our albums is adding breeding songs at the end. It's kind of like a bonus clip or whatever. And you hear the way it's supposed to sound because we got totally screwed on that album. And then that's why on Piercing Within, Roadrunner was like, you know, do what you want. You know, if you want to go to Scott Burns, we're not going to say anything, you know, like, go ahead and do it. Because they knew they messed up, yeah. So...
Du hørte Frank Mullen, vokalist I Suffocation, uttale seg der. Og hva vel mer naturlig enn å spille Morbid Angel, som egentlig ga navnet sitt til Suffocation med låta Suffocation?
Han visste det ikke enda, men noen av de beste barndomsminnene han skulle ta med seg videre I livet var dagene hjemme syk fra skolen med bestefar som barnevakt. Ikke det at det var så innmari gøy å være syk, men han fikk bestille McNuggets til lunsj og se på TV I sofaen mens bestefar leste papiravisa ved siden av. Og det nettopp sånne dager som betyr mer enn det virker som der og da. For sånn livet. Og McDonald's bare en liten del av det, tross alt.
Velkommen til Kjemperådet!
Hey!
Vi har fått inn et kjempenytt problem fra en mor. Jeg leser.
Yes.
Hei, jeg har en datter på 11 år som vurderer å slutte med orientering. Hun elsker jo å løpe, men finner aldri veien. Og jeg må sitte så lenge I bilen og vente.
Tricky. Yes, ja, men dette her har jeg opplevd selv faktisk. Og løsningen for meg ble da maps på mobilen.
Ja, hun jo under 13 år. Da får hun 5 GB data for bare 149 kroner med Telenor.
Oi.
Hun bør jo sjekke ut nye mobilabonnement på Telenor.no da.
Yes!
Yes! Vi hørte Morbid Angel med Suffocation her på Jernverket på Radio Rocks FM 90,1. Og den var plukket ut av Frank Møllen, som vokalist I Suffocation, og det nettopp han vi har intervju med her I kveld. Vi skal høre mer fra hans Rocks etter en liten pause og Carcass. Du hører på Radio Rocks FM 90,1. Det her Jernverket, og vi fikk nettopp Carcass med Leveraging Expectorate of Lysergid Composite. En låt som var plukket ut av vokalist I Suffocation, Frank Møllen. Og han har vi snakket med her I nesten hele kveld. Intervjuet nærmer seg dessverre slutten. Men en del av dere som Suffocation-fans har sikkert lurt på hvor det ble av DVD-en som har lovet Legacy of Violence. Jeg spurte Frank hva som hadde skjedd her, og hvorfor den aldri kom ut.
Yes, I feel horrible because it's like, you know, and it's a lot of great footage. And I mean, I'm pissed because it's like, we've given this project to this guy, John Bickford, and he come recorded a bunch of shows. Like, he came in out to us and recorded, you know, us hanging out, doing things like, you know, me going out at a gun range or like this, that, you know, so like behind the scenes stuff, you know, us hanging out with our friends, partying, this, that, you know, so you get to see kind of like what it's like also outside of doing the band stuff. And he got a lot of great footage. And then, like, so, you know, so every time we'd be asking him, like, you know, like, okay, is it almost ready? Like we want something now, like, you know, because that was 2010. So when the self-titled album was getting ready to come out, it was like, okay, yeah, we want to release it right around the same time. Is it going to be ready? You know, like, I still want to get this, or I still want to... Fine, then Blood Oath, you know, like, we want to release something in between, like, and then it just got to the point where we're like, you know, like, forget it, like, you know, you're not doing anything, you know, so we have a guy now that did our newest video, As Grace Descends, and he also did the making of DVD for the new album that's in there. I don't know if you got a chance to see that. It's what we did on this Pinnacle of Bedlam. You get the CD or you get the CD and the making of DVD. It's about an hour and a half or whatever, and it went into the whole background of putting this album together, and, you know, interviews with all the guys and stuff like that. And he did a really nice job with that. So he did that on this, and he also did like a lyrical video for one of the new songs and stuff like that. So, but he's gonna take everything that the other guy had, plus add some new stuff, and then he's going to put something together. So
the material.
Keep on fingers crossed that it will get done sometime within this year time frame or something like that. Like because he's really spot on. Like, this guy, you know, I mean, he put that making of DVD together in no time.
Du har hørt et Suffocation-intervju fra 2013. Likte du det, kan du for eksempel høre episoderne med Autopsy, Bloodbath og Kadaver. Neste vekk kommer det et splitter nytt intervju som ikke tatt opp over telefon. Omsider, Death by Unga Bunga.
Jeg kan jo bare snakke på vegne av oss alle I hele Østfold. Men det sånn, Østfold kommer jo til å forbli Østfold, og Østfoldinger Østfoldinger. Og så folk fra Bærumasker får være den de Du klarer ikke å merge de folkeslagene der noensinne.
Abonner på Jernverket podcast via podcast-app eller gå inn på jernverket.com. Det legger det fullt av episoder du kan kose deg med, og spre gjerne ordet. Vil du bidra med litt peng for at jeg skal kunne fortsette, kan du gi støtte via Patreon eller Vips. Og da det også kult om du slenger inn en god anmeldelse av podden der du lytter 5 stjerner, vet. Og husk på å følge Jernverket på Instagram og Facebook for konkurranser, diskusjoner og musikalske tips. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv og gir deg et nytt eller gammelt hardrock-intervju hver fredag. Vi høres!
Han så over skulderen hennes mens hun bestilte, og la merke til at hun valgte filet og fish. Og med ett ble han usikker på om de to egentlig hadde så mye til felles, og om de kjente hverandre så godt som han hadde trodd at de gjorde. Og mens han tenkte på det, så snudde hun seg, og så på han med et smil som gjorde at han var helt sikker på at det skulle være de to for alltid. Og det sånne åpenbaringer som gjør at folk står og kliner rett foran bestillingsautomaten noen ganger. Men sånn livet. Og McDonald's bare en liten del av det, tross alt.